it was said, had made the descent into the depths, equipped only with fragile pressure suits, and had found treasure upon which empires might be founded. If so, they had been careful to keep those treasures to themselves. But it had not stopped others coming, other chancers and adventurers. Around them had accreted the first hints of what would eventually become this city. There was no universally accepted theory to explain the whole, although the surrounding caldera, in which Chasm City lay, sheltered from winds and the predation of flash floods and the encroachment of methane-ammonia glaciers, hinted at something fairly catastrophic and recent, too, on the geologic timescale, recent enough not to have been erased by the processes of weathering and tectonic reshaping. Yellowstone had probably had a close encounter with its gas giant neighbor, which had injected energy into the planet's core, and the chasm was one of the means by which that energy was slowly being bled back towards space, but something must have opened this escape route in the first place. There were theories about tiny black holes slamming into the crust, or fragments of quark matter, but no one really knew what had happened. There were also rumors and fairy tales of alien digs beneath the crust, evidence that the chasm had in some sense been artifactual, if not necessarily deliberate. Perhaps those aliens had come here for the same reason that humans had, to tap the chasm for its energy and chemical resources. I could see very clearly the tentacular pipes which the city extended over the moor towards the bottom, reaching down like grasping fingers. "Don't pretend you're not impressed," Zebra said. "There are people who'd kill for a view like this. Come to think of it, I probably know people who have killed for a view like this." "That doesn't really surprise me." Zebra had entered the room silently. At first glance, she appeared to be naked, but then I saw that she was fully clothed, but in a gown of such translucence that it might as well have been made of smoke. She carried my mendicant clothes in her arms, washed and neatly folded. I could see now that she was very thin. Beneath the blue-gray film of her gown, black stripes covered her entire body, following the curves of her form, shadowing her genital region. The stripes simultaneously suppressed and emphasized the curves and angles of her body, so that she metamorphosed with each step she took towards me. Her hair ran in a stiff furrow down to the small of her back, ending above the striped swell of her buttocks. When she walked, she glided like a ballet dancer, her small hoof-like feet more for the purpose of anchoring her to the ground than supporting her weight. I could see now that had she chosen to play the game, she would have made a hunter of considerable skill. She had, after all, hunted me, if only for the purpose of ruining her enemy's entertainment. "On the planet where I come from," I said, "this would be considered provocative." "Well, this isn't Sky's Edge," she said, placing my clothes on the couch. "It's not even Yellowstone. In the canopy we do more or less what we please." She ran the palms of her hands down her hips. "Excuse me if this sounds rude, but were you born this way?" "Not remotely. I haven't always been female, for what it's worth, and I doubt that I'll stay this way for the rest of my life. I certainly won't always be known as Zebra. Who'd choose to be pinned down by one body, one identity?" "I don't know," I said carefully, "but on Sky's Edge it was beyond most people's means to modify themselves in any way at all."
"Yes, I gather you were all too busy killing each other."
"That's a fairly reductive summary of our history, but I don't suppose it's too far from the truth. How much do you know about it anyway?"